Good morning. I'd like to welcome everyone to this morning's study session for the Mesa City Council for Thursday, May 9th, 2013. First item on the agenda this morning is to hear a presentation, discuss, and provide direction on the following department budgets. We'll start with the Municipal Court.
Good morning, Mayor and Council. We're certainly glad to be here. We always like to take the opportunity at budget time to talk about the court and a lot of the things we're doing and where we think we're headed. I'm here this morning with Lenny Montanaro, Deputy Court Administrator, who will assist in the presentation. Moving to the first slide, we always like to highlight some of the good things that are going on at the court. Our pretrial electronic monitoring program continues to save the city money. It's been a great program. We continue to do that. We were able to execute a new contract, which lowered the cost to about $5 per day for the electronic device, as opposed to $75 a day down at the Maricopa County Jail. So it's a huge savings and continues to perform. We continue with our case management project at the court. We've reported on this before. We're looking to go live near the end of October. That is a huge project, involves a lot of people, a lot of money. It's progressing very aggressively. If we expect to be fully successful, and it will roll out to about 140 courts. Approximately 2,000 court staff will be using this program when we finish it at the end of October. We were tasked with the lead because of Mesa's advanced processes and the efficiencies that we had already developed in our current systems. So the Supreme Court wanted us to take the lead, and if it were essentially built around our processes, it would elevate all the other courts in the state upon completion. So it was quite the compliment to be handed this project. I have the dollar amounts attached because had we not been given this privilege, certainly at some point in time, the city might have been faced with funding another case management system for the court. Not too long ago, the National Center for State Courts, the primary consulting agency for most courts throughout the country, determined that the Mesa court was a national model. So we continue to hold tours and take people through the building and talk about the design and the efficiencies built in. We recently had the Salt River Pima Indian community come through. They're architects and engineers who are about ready to build a court complex on the reservation. And their community leaders recently came through, and their IT people were scheduled towards the end of the month. So we continue to be a model for other courts and communities around the state. I had a visit from the court administrator from Maricopa Superior Court 2 days ago and advised me that there may be a delegation coming from Florida to look at our facility. And not too long ago, we hosted a delegation from Savannah, Georgia that came through. So the court continues to be quite the center of attention both within the state and nationally. We always like to update you on the innovations and things we talked about last year, so you know where we're at this year with those projects. The new case management system continues, as I mentioned before, with a mid-October implementation date. We are continuing to test the use of electronic signature pads for defendants. Once that technology is perfected, the court will no longer have to contend with paper documents for defendants, which we would have to scan. That information would be uploaded directly once the defendant signs off. So we're continue again to exploit new technologies and their use in the court environment. And we certainly continue to support the Mesa Police Department in their rollout of handheld devices. It's not me.
Okay. Sounds like Chewbacca's on the phone.
Squeaky brakes.
Okay, there we go.
Do you know
you're
there?
We have a couple of challenges that we wanted to bring forward this morning. On the next slide, there's basically two, and I wish to point out that they're not connected in any way. They're two separate and distinct items. Both require council action, so we included them in today's presentation. As we move into the new case management system, and we're preparing to do that, it requires us to make certain business and operational changes, and preparation for adapting to the new processes and the new system. One of which has to do with some of how we handle some of our financial matters through the court, and we're looking to change the court user fee, and you know, Lenny will talk about that on the next slide and how we intend to do that. So it's just, that's a mechanical change. It's just a cleanup thing, and we need council action to accomplish that. The second item is that, and we'll point this out in the next few slides, the need for funding above the normal court budget. Throughout the years, we've made use of our JSEF and fill the gap funding. It's grant funding, basically restricted funds that come to the court. And we've relied on those funds to a great extent to move the court forward in terms of technology and all of those projects and things that we have to do. Those funds are significantly depleted at this point in time. We've had to make a huge commitment to the case management system. And so we're looking to, you know, create a revenue and funding source to replace our ability to, you know, fund ongoing technology and ongoing expansion of court processes. So the two are separate and distinct. Both require council action in the proposals that you'll see. And I think Lenny's going to take the next two slides and explain those to you.
Okay, hold on, Lenny. Second. Councilman Kavanaugh.
Just a question with the in terms of the grant funds. Are those grant funds from the Supreme Court that come through the legislature, and is it the reason that the legislature's made dramatic cuts? I know in serving on the Supreme Court's Commission on Technology, we've had a lot of discussion the last 2 years about the huge cuts to the court. Is that the reason?
No, that would not be correct. Typically, the first cuts the state talk about are the state portions of those grants. There's a state portion that's under the directly under the Supreme Court's control, and then there's a local portion that's under our control. So they typically have those concerns related to the state portion of those grant funds. So that's not the issue that we're dealing with here today. As you'll see in the next few slides, we allowed those grant funds to accumulate over the years, because we knew there would be a day where we would have to commit a large sum of money to a case management system. So we allowed those funds to accumulate, and then we were able to commit locally from those funds over $1 million towards this case management system. So that funding stream is now back to, you know, a minimum level, and our history will demonstrate, as we'll see, that our technology commitments are typically more than that every year ongoing. So that's the issue we're trying to wrestle with, but we'll lay that out in the next few slides.
Okay. Now the first piece, the operational and financial changes, the court recommends converting the court user fee from an add-on fee to a simple increase in the base fine, remaining revenue neutral to the general fund. The council action we're asking here is to repeal the court user fee, Ordinance 112-3. Currently, the court user fee is at $22.50. In addition, Judge DeFoya, within his purview, he would increase the base fine by the respective amount.
Let me ask you this. If the base fines increase, do judges have any discretion to go below the base fine? Or
they do, but that's typically not what happens. We're under a general direction from Arizona Supreme Court, all the courts at the county level, to try to keep our fines in proximity to one another, such that if you had a stop sign violation in Gilbert, it's not significantly different than a stop sign violation in Mesa or some other community. So they didn't want a lot of disparity and unfairness between communities on fine levels. So judges certainly have the authority to do that, but to maintain that parity and fairness across the board, court to court, those fines typically remain about the same.
Okay. I'm just wondering, because a judge would not have or does not have the, or I guess I should ask a question, does a judge have the ability in a case to waive the court user fee?
Yes, they would. Right.
Okay.
Right.
So right now they can leave it on, take it off. That's all part of the penalty that the
Correct.
Judge has discretion over.
Right.
Okay.
Yes.
Now, was any other questions?
Okay. Go ahead.
The court user fee was never used to offset directly court projects. It funneled into the general fund. So incorporating it into the base fine keeps the transition revenue neutral to the general fund. So we don't want to mess with the general fund.
Yeah, the user fee is a bit of a mystery to us. It goes back several years, and it goes straight to the general fund. So it wasn't connected to any particular cost or cost recovery situation that we could identify. So in as much as it's a general fund fee anyway, if we incorporate it into the base fine, it's no different than it would be. It cleans up the mechanical part of having to separately identify in the financial system a separate user fee and program for that and then account for it through distribution rules and things in the programming. So it's a cleanup effort that we're asking for. It will remain revenue neutral since it's all general fund.
And so that's great that you would get rid of all fees so you wouldn't have to separate out the accounting and you would never would ask for another type of fee, right?
Well, maybe.
Oh. Sorry, I jumped one slide ahead.
Anyway, so we just want to be clear about the operation of the user fee, and our plan is to simply convert it and make it revenue neutral. So, but it does require council action to make it go away.
Okay. The revenue recommendation, the court recommends a new $15 court's sustainability fee to assist the general fund and provide supplemental revenue support needed by the court. The fee will be allocated and specifically dedicated based on a 50-50 split to the following: offsetting the cost of the municipal security officers stationed at the court and the city plaza. Now, currently, there are 9 FTEs in the Mason Municipal Security at a cost of about $560,000 annually. Second, supplementing additional technology and operational costs to the court. Council action here would be to establish a court sustainability fee.
I got a question. So why don't we just increase the base fine as is, leave the $2,250 in place, and then just you ask us to make those restricted or dedicated funds? What's the difference? I mean, let me ask, you don't need council action to increase base fines. Am I correct?
That's correct. Correct.
Okay. So why don't we just increase base fines? Let us know where that is. I mean, what's the difference in what we're doing? Wouldn't that seem a lot more straightforward?
Go ahead.
Or is there a technical difference I'm missing?
There is, and this gets kind of complicated. Okay.
Hey, it's 7:30 in the morning. Come on, we're ready for complicated stuff.
Okay. Currently, our standard fine, including the base and surcharges. Quick education: judge fines somebody $100. Because of state surcharges, it's 83%. So immediately, the $100 fine becomes $183, plus a $20 probation fee. Okay, so we're about 211. Most of our fines are 220. With our
you guys are as bad as the cable companies.
No, it's not
the bundling. Okay,
it's the state legislators.
I'm glad somebody else can blame the state legislators.
Here it comes.
Go for it.
Okay. So currently we have two fees. We have the court user fee and the court construction fee. And we are sensitive to the community and the fines, okay? So our current system allows us out of that $220 fine to back out the court user and court construction fee. When we transition...
Now, let me ask you, is that court user, is that a term dictated by state law or Supreme Court?
No,
it's our term.
Strictly a local firm.
It's our term. Okay, go ahead.
Okay. So we have the technology to do that. When we transition to the new case management system, the statewide case management system, they will become secondary fees because these fees are at the case level. So a $220 fine will have the court construction fee added on, that's $2,250, and the court user fee. And because the court user fee isn't technically designated to anything, it has an 83% surcharge also. So that $2,250 becomes $41, okay? So the $220 fine right now, along with the court user and court construction fee for the citizen or the user, would be $289. So if we repeal if you repeal the court user fee, we'll make that part of the base fine, keeping it revenue neutral, meaning we won't have an add-on, okay? But we'd still have the add-on of the court construction fee. We'd incorporate the court sustainability fee into every charge. So a standard fine of $220 would actually come up to about $247. So we'd be at the high end of the community for fines, but we'd still be within the administrative order issued by the
American. So what I'm hearing is that the $2,250 is in one silo, which makes it which makes the surcharge apply. And rather than just redefining that and saying, okay, it's now in this silo, what you're telling me and telling us is that it's easier to eliminate this and add something new over here so there's a clean break.
Correct. Plus, we would be asking this is at a charge level.
Well, yeah, I know that. But basically, you're renaming the same fee is what you're doing.
You could look at it like that.
Well, that's what it is. But what I'm hearing you say is rather than get into the complication of saying, okay, now this is part of this group, we're going to change it over to that group, you're telling us it's easier to eliminate that and reinstitute over here so you there's no confusion as to which silo that ends up in.
Yep.
Am I seeing you hearing you correctly?
Yeah, we tried to make this simple.
I'm not arguing with you. I'm just trying to understand because
right,
it makes
correct,
sense
right.
if that's the
and
case.
And you're correct.
That
you're
creates
correct.
Problems.
And the
makes
sustainability
sense.
Fee actually has, you've defined it.
That's correct.
Whereas the one that exists today doesn't have that kind of definition.
Well, I'm just looking at eliminate this and add this. It's actually less dollars, but right. And we'll increase the fines. You know, it seems like you're just trading the same thing over, and I was trying to figure out why you felt it was necessary to eliminate and to add, and it makes sense what you're saying.
And I tried to
don't know if I buy it, but it still makes sense. Okay.
Well, that was the danger in connecting the two that I alluded to a while ago. The user fee is more of a mechanical thing in terms of the programming. It makes it easier to do what we're suggesting. Just convert it, make it part of the base fine, and do away with it. And then typically. Most courts throughout the valley and throughout the state, when they have a particular supplemental thing that they need to fund in addition to regular budgetary support, they do that through some kind of a designated fee. So you can attach that fee to what it's supporting and measure whether it's funding it or
not. What you're asking us to do, to synthesize it, what you're asking us to do is to leave the general fund contribution the same.
That's correct.
Through a trade-off of reducing fee, increasing fines, and adding a new $15 fee that you can then designate to specific
that's
uses.
Correct.
That's
correct.
Okay.
That's correct.
Vice Mayor.
So quick question. Why wouldn't you include the, the court construction fee also over into the base? And that would save that 83% surcharge at the state.
When we put together the financial model for paying the debt service on the bonds for the building several years ago, a piece of that picture was the court construction fee to help with that debt service. The performance of that fee has a certain expectation throughout the debt period.
Well, I guess the question is the 83% surcharge, does that go to the state or does that stay in our
state? It goes to the state. We get a small piece of that back, but most
so
of
net small piece right. is what if there's a 83% surcharge, do we get 5% of that, 10% of that?
No, there's
a formula that comes back.
The fill the gap funds that you'll see in a later slide, there's a formula that the Supreme Court uses, and it goes through the state and comes back, and it's like a small percentage of what that.
Well, I guess to dovetail on what the Vice Mayor was asking, if we eliminated that, or if we did the same thing with that we're doing with this and eliminated the 83% surcharge, would that be revenue neutral, or could we make that revenue neutral to the city and perhaps lower the burden on. I mean, is that what I think?
Yes,
that's what you're getting at.
What I'm getting at is there's a net savings to the person coming through the court system, which might justify a small increase in the mm-hmm. whatever terminology we're using. The court sustainability fee, and so we can say, hey, we're saving you $80 or whatever the rough numbers, but we'll ask you a $15 over here.
We're actually picking up more money for us.
Picking up more money for us.
And lowering the overall.
So I see the logic and the reason.
Councilman Kavanaugh?
But if you eliminate the core construction fee, doesn't it affect the whole premise on which the bonds are constructed to help pay for the building?
Well, I think we're saying eliminate it. I'm saying we're doing the same thing. I think what I'm hearing the Vice Mayor say is that you go through the same process. The core construction fee is eliminated, and it's added on as the court physical facilities acquisition fee.
And Mayor and Council, the court construction fee was set up as a designated fee. It is restricted to only be used on the debt service for the municipal court.
We get it.
And it is an automatic sunset, so it would automatically sunset when that debt is paid off.
Okay, we get that. I think what we're saying is that I guess I'm having the same question the Vice Mayor is that why are we putting a court construction fee that's subject to an 83% surcharge that we don't get? If it's dedicated. All right. Lenny's shaking his head, so apparently we misunderstand.
The court construction fee is not subject to the 83% surcharge because of it's a sunsetting and it's completely.
Okay, that's not what I somehow that got mixed up, and that's not what I heard. So if that's the case, I'm fine.
The court construction fee is a little bit unique. I think we were the first to create such a creature. And there was a lot of legal discussion between myself and folks at the Supreme Court about whether or not surcharges apply to that. Typically, any fee that is a direct cost recovery for a cost that you're incurring does not involve a surcharge. So we characterize that court construction fee as a direct cost recovery for debt on the bonds and therefore was not subject to surcharges.
Okay.
So it's a rather unique
get it
fee.
Now.
Right.
It was different between the court user fee.
We understand that. You know, at the end of the day, I guess what we're looking at, because what you're trying to do is we're trading labels and everything, but the question is it what are we charging and where does it end up? And it seems like I said, at the end of the day, you want to have a revenue neutral on this side but increase the fees over here, which are not subject to the I'm assuming that the $15 would not be subject to the surcharge?
It would be subject
to the surcharge, okay, because of the type of fee that it is.
That's correct. That's
even if it's dedicated and we call it a cost recovery type fee?
Well, you'd have to incur the cost first, I think, to suggest that it's connecting to cost recovery.
Okay, so cost recovery is on a after type thing, like a bond payments as opposed to ongoing fees. Okay.
I would say one of the things, Mayor and Council, that we looked at when we were looking at all of their fees and reviewing how this was going to work is one of the things that was looked at was what was the defendant paying. So it was a matter of not only just cleaning up all of the current fees that we have today, but looking at what that impact would be to the defendant. So the cleanup here that they're recommending is actually a reduced cost to the defendant than if we did not clean it up.
Okay.
Because of the surcharges and the way that it works. They actually end up paying less by cleaning this up, but it's a revenue neutral to the general fund, though.
Okay, all right. So you're going to have to explain that to me a little bit. Right now, the $2,250 is subject to the surcharge?
Yes.
If it's included in the base fine, isn't it still subject to the surcharge?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. So how is the defendant paying less because we're adding a $15 fee to that?
We're not talking about the $15 fee, just the cleanup, and that's why they were trying to differentiate these two items. The first item is actually just doing a cleanup on the court user fee, which is just trying to eliminate the net and increase the base.
Is the same.
The net to the defendant.
When we're adding a $15 fee, so how does the defendant pay less?
Not with the $15 fee. That's a secondary item. That would be an increase that you would take an action on if you feel that's you agree with the.
But I still don't know how the defendant pays less if you're basically switching the $2,250 from a fee Lenny's getting all excited over
there. Yes, I know. I know. I've had many discussions about this.
Okay, go for it.
Okay. Currently, in our current system, we don't have an issue. Okay. When we transition to the new case management system, which is a statewide, and as all courts are going to transition to this, or most courts are going to transition to this, the standard is these secondary fees, such as a court construction fee, a court technology fee, a court enhancement fee. What we're asking for, or what we have now, is a court user fee. And the court user fee is assessed by case. So currently, a $220 fine. When we transition to the new case management system, these will be secondary or add-on fees. So the user would still get the $220 fine, and they would have to pay the $22.50 court construction fee and the $41.
Wait, when you say we transfer the new system, isn't that what they're doing right now? It's a $220 fine. Aren't they paying $220 plus $22.50?
No. We're taking which $220 and we're backing it out of the first.
So you're reducing the fine?
The judge imposes
the $220 fine. I show up at the window with a $220 fine, and the window they go, okay, it's $220 plus this plus that.
The difference is, Mayor, that the fine is set, whatever that fine is, and then everything is backed out, you know, in a portion to where it has to go. The new system requires that you set a baseline to put everything on top. So what Lenny's trying to say is that under the new system will demand that any fees you have end up on top of your base fine and are not pulled, you know. Yeah.
So
I know what they're doing, but the comment was, and maybe I'm, the comment was made that the defendant will pay less under this deal, I don't see how that's happening when it's revenue neutral to us. How does a defendant pay less when it's revenue neutral to us?
That
math doesn't work. Sorry.
And it is complicated math, and I will agree that it's complicated math.
Because of what goes to the state,
right? And let me tell you the way I understand it, not being from the municipal court, but trying to embed myself into this in the last month, is the way that this works is because we are moving to not just the new system, electronic system, but a new regional system of how fines are applied and how fees are applied. We need to conform our set of fees to the new way they're going to be doing statewide, and that will make our court user fee an add-on fee, which will change the math the way we've been doing it. So the net result to a defendant would be a larger total out-of-pocket expense, even though it wouldn't have necessarily changed our receipt of the money. I'm going to look at Albert for this one. But the defendant price would go up. So if we did nothing at all, the defendant would actually end up paying more for that same fine.
And where does that money go?
That's an Albert question.
Well, Lenny.
Albert's not here.
I mean, not Albert question. Lenny question. That was my understanding of first.
What you're talking about is how a system works, and a system should not change. If a council sets the fees through our action, then the change in a computer system can't change those fees, and we don't adopt to a computer system. The computer system adopts to what this council says.
And that's on a regional basis.
I get that. But I'm saying by a policy. Now, if we choose that we want to play in the regional system, then we have the choice of adopting to the system or not getting into the system. I get that.
So what we're saying is that it's not so much that we're changing what we want to adopt to the system. We have to conform to the system as regional leaders in this area.
Still asking the question, if the defendant pays less, how are we revenue neutral and the defendant pays less? Unless the state gets a bigger cut.
The premise, though, Mayor, is if all things remain the same today and that the current
the cost
system,
will go up.
We would receive more.
Right.
So the defendant isn't paying less. The defendant is avoiding
the increase under the
increase.
Way
correct.
The calculation
okay, thank
be
you.
Correct.
The future.
All right. Sorry. So it wouldn't, in that case, it wouldn't be revenue neutral. If we keep the way it is,
correct.
The cost would go up, and either the state would get more money or we would get more money.
Correct.
Now I understand. Thank you. I'm slow, but
I'm sorry.
Get there.
So what we're saying is
we're avoiding an increase
correct.
As opposed to we're reducing the cost.
Right. Correct.
Big difference.
Quick question.
Thank you. Vice Mayor.
So could you give us, under this scenario, what you would think a net a savings or reduction or whatever would be to the defendant or the customer going through?
Yes.
What are you thinking? Is it $30? Is it a percentage?
If there was no change and we adapted we transitioned to the new case management system, $20 fine would be $284 to the defendant, mm-hmm. because the court construction and court user fee would be added on.
Right.
So if we transition and we the court sustainability fee is added, the $220 fine would become $247.45, and the secondary assessment, which would be the court construction fee, would be $22.50. So therefore, the defendant would pay $269.95 versus $284.
$15 savings. So thus, that's why you're suggesting the new fee of $15, right? Mm-hmm. And that gets it back to about where it would be, mm-hmm. roughly. Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
Any other questions on this slide?
I think everyone else must have either understood or they've given up. So go ahead.
Escape the slide.
Next slide, Lenny. Okay.
The estimated revenue here is $850,000, and that's $425,000 split between municipal offsetting the cost of municipal security and the designated court needs. And how I arrived at that figure, I took a 3-year survey of all charges that were filed and how many charges were paid in full within 12 months of the date of filing. So came out at a conservative estimate that this would create generate about $850,000 annually.
We typically give counsel a very conservative projection whenever we do anything like this, and historically we've been pretty accurate. And the performance of these fees has typically exceeded what we've indicated in past sessions. So I think our approach has been fairly accurate historically, and we're comfortable that this would be a minimum pretty much given what we expect on the fee. The next half of the slide, I would like to point out that these are the recent projects funded through our JSEF and Fill the Gap grant funding. All of this is in addition to the regular budget provided by the city. And if you jump to the very next slide, Len, if you could, and go to the next to the last line at the bottom and look at JSEF and Fill the Gap and go to the far right, you'll see that the projected revenue for next year is sitting at a $267,000 level. The figures to the left represent the accumulated grant funds that are now committed to the new case management system and other technology projects. So I think you can see that the financial support that we've had.
So that's all. That's basically all grant money.
That's correct.
That's disappearing.
That's correct.
Okay.
The proposal for the sustainability fee, if approved, would support that need to the extent of the $425,000 that Lenny indicated. That keeps us in a fair position with respect to funding our ongoing technology demands at the court, which are not insignificant. It's great to move forward and have a lot of technology and state-of-the-art, but you have to support that technology. We've got support contracts that we have to issue for technicians to come in and support the technology. We've got technology sitting out there that we want to employ that we might not have the funding to do so in the next few years.
Well, I'm assuming that we invest in technology not because it's the cool thing to do, but because it's a more efficient, creates a more
Absolutely.
Efficient and effective court,
correct.
Which creates, it maybe not immediate, but certainly short-term and long-term efficiencies, which result in cost savings.
That's correct.
So if I'm hearing you correctly, what you're saying is the continued investment is necessary to make sure that we don't pay more through the fact we won't gain these efficiencies from the technology.
Yeah, and the record speaks to that. If you go back to those first slides where we save money through electronic monitoring and through right. the things we've done technology-wise, it does produce efficiencies. A lot of this comes back in the form of better public service, so it's returned in some sense to the correct. Our expanded web services, just to give you an example, we expanded our web services more so than any other court. We provide disposition reports of cases on the web. Previously, someone would have to submit a records request to the court. we would have to assess a $17 research fee plus costs for copies and so on. That cost went away. So to the public, that information is now available free on the website. So those technologies do produce returns for the public in terms of better service efficiencies and so on. So we certainly, you know, have propelled the court into a lead position in terms of technology and efficiency, and we need to sustain that, and that's the motivation for the fee.
Okay. All right. Questions? Councilman Kavanaugh.
I know that we have had some questions or inquiries about our judicial salaries in terms of the rather static nature of our salaries contrasted with other communities. And I think as a council, we've asked our Judicial Advisory Board to survey this issue and come back with recommendations to the council. And this might be a question more for Chris, but assuming the advisory board comes back with recommendations for changes or for increases, how would you handle that in terms of the coming budget year? Would you target it to, you know, a January 1st or March 1st, or
right,
you'd wait to the following budget year because of what we might be approving in our this year's budget?
Right. Thank you, Councilman Kavanaugh, Mayor and Council. So I think what we're the Judicial Advisory Board is aware of the request, and I believe that that's been on their agenda, and they are working on that now. I don't know that we have a timeline when they're going to get back to us, but what I would anticipate is that that implementation, we'd probably look to bring that and maybe having that in effect or looking at that to consider that for effect in January. And so we'll have to consider what I have right now. I really don't even know what the total amount of that would be and to allocate that, but we can consider that. I don't think it wouldn't be anything we could absorb within the budget. It may be a philosophy also, depending on, you know, the choices the council is going to have to make, even for the general fund budget, regarding other employee compensation, as the timing of that, whether we can do that in July 1st or do we defer that till January, and maybe we'll, you know, hopefully see some improvement in the economy. But that's right now the plan, is to wait with the time they're going to take to study it and review it. The implementation would probably happen maybe sometime the first year is what I was imagining. So.
All right. Thank you very much. Appreciate it, and congratulations. We continue to enjoy your reports and see the progress, and we understand that the new court is more than just a building.
It's become a public relations beacon for the city, right, and it speaks well to the city and as well as the court, and we're more than happy to give the tours and to do things that people request of us, and I think we have some projects sitting out there. I can't talk about them now. That
Councilman Kavanaugh suggested we start charging for those tours. Tickets.
Well, there's a thought. There's a thought.
Hey, and, don't laugh. I went to the Cowboys Stadium in Dallas.
Arlington.
I'm sorry. Mayor Cluck would not be happy if I said that. Since they've opened, they have collected $30 million in tour fees. They charge like $30-$40 bucks a ticket to go on a tour of that place.
Probably an all-day tour.
Anyway, we could do the same thing.
I appreciate the council's time and attention, and I apologize. We tried to make this simple this morning, you know, hopefully we understand what we're trying to
do. We got there.
Very good.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Next item is budget from the solid waste. $30 million. They've had a million first go through there in 3 years. It's unreal.
Mayor, Council, good morning. With me today, to my far right, is Ms. Tara Acuna, administrator of our commercial operations. Mr. Patrick Murphy to my left, the administrator of our residential operations, and Ms. Sherry Brandley, our senior fiscal analyst, to my immediate right, who will assist me today in our presentation. My name is Mike Comstock, and on behalf of the 120 women and men who comprise the Solid Waste Department, we're happy to be here today to discuss our current issues that face us and give you an update on innovations which we believe will help pave the way for future success of our organization. One of our baseline measures is the cost per home that we track very closely of residential trash and recycle collection costs. The current benchmark that we base these assessments on is a 10-year contract that was awarded to the city by the city of Chandler to Waste Management that began in October of 2010. This contract that the city of Chandler awarded includes trash and recycle barrel collections. As you can see, Chandler's cost per home is higher than ours, as reflected in the graph above. Our costs, of course, are inclusive of all what we term go-away costs, that if we contracted out this enterprise, that this would be the cost that would go away. We reconcile this on a fiscal year basis, and in July of 13, we'll be able to bring closer figures back to you as we update you on our cost per home.
Mike, Councilmember Higgins.
Mayor, Mike, is that per month? Per household, or is that a week per household, or what is that?
The $5 increase, what is that per?
It is the cost per household that it costs Solid Waste to service a household. So if we were to contract out
per month. So, yes, Councilwoman, that is per month. No, not per year.
Not per week.
No. It's per month.
Okay. No.
Yeah.
Okay, great. Thanks.
Mind you, that's only the. It's horrible. I can't.
The go-away cost.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. I didn't mean.
Well, I think if someone's going to look at that and say, "What do you charge me a month?" and there's a difference. Well, that doesn't include any of your fixed costs and your administrative costs and those kind of things. Because if City of Chandler, that's your variable costs.
I'm assuming this doesn't include the tipping fees.
That's correct.
Okay. Yeah,
there are several.
It doesn't include anything. That's just what if we went out because. Waste Management doesn't incur any of those costs. We would still incur those costs on top of that. So that's the difference between our variable costs.
We're trying to find the competitive set to compare ourselves.
Yeah. There's a lot of costs that are not included in that, but City Chandler also incurs that are not included in their Waste Management. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Yes. Next is a growth slide. In general, for every additional 3,000 black barrels that are set, an additional truck is needed to handle those types of routes. Over the last 2 years, we've seen a variance in that where we've been able to reduce routes based on the lack of tonnage. However, in this past year, we've seen about a 9.3% increase in our trash tons, and we've set about...
Are those maybe foreclosed homes that are coming back on the market? Because there hadn't been that much construction.
We believe so. That's where the it's
so those
it's
are
internal
empty houses.
Growth.
Mayor, we are seeing. Yes. You go look in our development services. We are seeing new home construction.
Well, I know, but not 3,000 homes.
And no, but it's
and I'm trying to figure out where that growth's coming from, and it would seem like, I would assume that in 9, 10, 11, we saw a reduction in our.
Did we see
a reduction in our black barrels?
Yep.
We did. In 2009, we saw a 5.6% reduction.
Okay.
In 11, it was about a 0.3% reduction, and then we saw it start picking back up.
So we're picking back up. Lost accounts is what we're doing.
Trash is picking up, yes, sir.
That's good.
And at our current growth rate, we believe we'll need to add 4 additional trucks around 14, 15, especially in the east quadrants where we see some additional growth coming.
And I will now cue Councilman Richens about the new trucks we're getting.
It's coming.
Okay. For once in my life, I'm not 4 slides ahead. I'm sorry about that. We'll cue Councilman. We will cue Councilman Richens in 4 slides.
Let me turn it over to Patrick Murphy, who talked about our IGA.
Good morning. In October 2012, an intergovernmental agreement was executed between Mesa, Gilbert, Scottsdale, and Tempe. The goal of that project is to take advantage of the economies of scale by leveraging our tonnage with a regional approach with an expectation of substantial cost savings for our disposal and increased revenue for our recyclables. Each city will select the options and services most advantageous to their respective communities. And what I mean by that is that we all don't have to go with the same respondent. Rather, we'll select a respondent based on factors such as tipping fees and location of the site. We've hired a consulting group to help us, and that consulting group is called SAIC, Energy, Environmental, and Infrastructure. They're going to help us develop a request for proposals. They've also interviewed the proposed respondents to see if they're interested and if they're capable of responding, which they have indicated that they are, and they're very interested in responding to this RFP.
What is the market? What do we have, 3 or 4 people that are this is for landfill and for recycling type operations?
Yes.
What's the number of players out there? Three, four, two?
Service providers?
Yeah. There's two majors. Landfills and stuff like that.
Two major providers.
Two majors, okay.
Yeah.
Sorry. Are the landfills owned by the big companies, or the landfills we use?
No, I thought the question was who was the major providers. There's two major providers. We have two landfills that are available in the bid mix.
Right. That's what I'm asking.
But they're not all the same, I don't think.
No.
Right there. Right.
No, they're not owned by the same people.
No, well, the Salt River own one.
Salt
and
River.
Then,
out at AJ.
Yeah.
Apache Junction.
Okay. Great. Thank
and
you.
The public owns that.
And then there's transfer stations that are existing or as a result of this may have new transfer stations.
Right. So I guess that's what I was getting into because you have, I mean, the big player, there's a lot of big players. We won't go on and get into that. But there's so one of the things may be to for someone to come in and build a new transfer station, which then would make other landfills reachable or however you want to say
They're viable
it.
Then.
Yeah. Economical then.
So there may be a change. And is this what we get, I'm assuming, from the IGA? Because let's say, and I'm just guessing as to what might happen. If someone has a landfill down south, it doesn't make sense for them to come in and build a transfer station just for Mesa. But if they combine Mesa and Gilbert trash and put it right in the middle, then all of a sudden transfer station becomes viable. Is that sort of what we're looking for in that IGA? Is maybe
we're
to create
hoping that they will the private sector will look at that as
yes.
an opportunity.
Okay, that's what I was getting at. All right.
Okay. Thank you, Mayor. So the next steps are we're going to coordinate the development of the request for proposals. We believe we'll issue that on May 20th. We will have submittals to the RFP in late August, review those, and bring back a recommendation to council in early November.
Councilor Higgins.
Thanks, Mayor. Patrick, on the RFP, are you with the group developing that together? This wasn't one of those things you went out for a consultant on, was it? I don't remember.
We hired SAIC to help us with the development of that RFP, and all the communities, Scottsdale, Tempe, and Gilbert, and Mesa, are working with that consultant to develop that RFP.
The whole team is?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
Great. Thanks.
It's a consortium put together.
That word, consortium. Yep. Love it. Thanks.
And if you recall, we mentioned that the consultant met with the providers, and one of the things that a number of the providers asked for was additional time to respond to the RP, basically to coincide with what the mayor was talking about. There's going to be such an increase in tonnage that they want to make sure that they provide us with the best possible solution.
Okay. Next, Ms. Terracuno will walk us through our proposal for growth in our commercial business.
Good morning. Currently, our market share that we hold for our front-load commercial operations in Mesa is about 44%. Republic holds 20%, and Waste Management's about 28%, which leaves 8% to smaller operations. Some of the efforts we're currently taking to increase our market share include advancing our sales and customer service team, spending more staff time in the field on service calls and follow-ups, building and strengthening our relationships with our internal departments, and we recently joined the Chamber of Commerce. Many of my staff have planned a retreat this month that we're going to involve all of our commercial areas from drivers, foremen, and parts of the sales team. We're going to set some strategic goals, focus on customer service, and we'll be brainstorming and welcoming any creative new ideas.
Question. Councilor Higgins?
Just a question. When we go out like for commercial quotes or whatever, and you look at a building and, you know, what are those normal size dumpsters? Four-yard dumpsters. Do you have the ability to say, oh, this is a law office, they just have paper, so it's going to weigh less, so I only need to charge Y? And then the next door neighbor is pick something heavy, so their garbage is heavier. Do we have the ability to say, hey, they got a four-yard thing, it's paper, it's not going to weigh a lot, or because it's a four-yard dumpster, it costs X?
Mayor, Councilmember Higgins, typically in the law office situation, if they have mostly paper, we would offer our blue barrel service, so then they wouldn't even have a bin. But when we have some neighboring communities, there are types of blended rates that we can do, but typically it's based on our current rates.
So if you had that option, would that help when we're out competing against the other commercial haulers?
Definitely.
Well, you have that option. Now, the question are these fees that are fixed, or do you have the flexibility to adapt and come up with those blended rates within certain guidelines?
And if I may, Mayor, that's one of the things that we're exploring is how do you compete against a private hauler who can move their rates up or down in order to establish a contract with a company that we may be providing service to and our contract is ending. They can go in and give them a lower price than what we can provide. Our rates are fixed. If we put a four-yard
dump. Because our rates are in the fee schedule.
Right.
Yes.
So one of the things.
In the past, we've given. Now, we have, and tell me, because I know we've done this with other departments, yeah. where we have yeah. created a range yeah. as opposed to a fixed rate.
That's right.
And so.
Would you like us to look at that? I mean,
well, yeah. If we're going to compete in the market and our hands are tied.
Especially if you can give discounts in the first years, then
sure.
level it
yeah.
off. Okay. Let us look
Perfect.
At that. And
yeah, I think we've used that in other things, and it's been. At least
yes.
what I've seen has been
that's
very successful
yeah.
as long as we create that range and give you the you're running the business unit
sure.
basically. Why not give you the tool to work within that? It's your budget that you're responsible for. I'm assuming that you would be
yep.
you would well, be a wise steward of that budget.
Yeah, thank you for beating us to the punch. We were going to
propose
a floor and a ceiling.
Is this two slides down the road?
No, you're ahead of us, so that's good. We were going to propose a floor and a ceiling and be able to move within that. As long as we hit our targeted net revenues, we would be happy with that approach and be able to get out there and compete and gain new business for the city.
And just a follow-up on that?
Right.
Are there other things that you see that we could do that you'd like to look into, or
because
I'd say go and see whatever it takes to make us competitive legally within the city realm.
Sure. One of the things we're going to talk about on the next slide is a move towards compressed natural gas as a fuel source. Our competitors are moving that way, and their reduction in fuel costs are enabling them to get in at a lower rate, be able to pass that on to their customers. So you'll see that as part of our next slide.
Thank you.
Vice Mayor, nothing.
Just quickly, normally people would be concerned that a government is competing with private sector, but the big winners in the end is the business person out there that's trying to cut costs. And so I think it's, since we're in the enterprise and we do it, part of the competition ultimately helps the Mesa business person in the long run. So I think that's a good way to go.
And just so you know, when this was passed in 1988, this is a little bit different than our other enterprise funds where they're certificated areas or those types of applications. This is a direct competition for commercial business. This is open to anybody.
It's the market
provider.
And there's no taxpayer
right.
Taxes. It's all fee-driven.
Subsidy.
Exactly.
Yeah, this is pure business to business.
Right.
So giving us that flexibility will really aid us in moving our business forward.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, I also wanted to talk to you about an ASU project that we had. Many of you are probably familiar with Mariano Reyes. He's in our audience. He was recently, in the spring, he was approached by a former classmate and a friend who's now a marketing professor at the ASU College of Business, W.P. Carey College of Business. She sought out Mariano when they were doing a project on brand management. Two groups of junior and senior undergraduates came and met with some members, group members from Solid Waste, and developed a survey that was mailed to some of our current and past customers to evaluate their perception of our trash collection services. After they analyzed the results of the survey and reviewed our website, they came up with some recommendations. And Councilmember Glover joined us for their final presentation at ASU on April 25th. Two of the recommendations that we plan to pursue include hiring a marketing intern who will follow up with some of the initial survey respondents and also develop some new surveys, and will also help us to further develop our website. And additionally, they recommended that we develop a slogan which shows that Solid Waste supports the community as a whole to create a public connection. Oh, I also wanted to mention that our current private hauler fees bring in about just under $24,000 a year.
Okay.
Councilmember Higgins?
We talked about that last week, I know, in study session, the private hauler fee. Have we ever looked at, and I didn't, I hope I'm not jumping ahead, but like a franchise fee for people operating in the city like we do for gas and other entities? Or maybe we could talk about it. If it's coming up.
No, Mayor,
I think that's kind of what this was intended to be.
Yeah, I think our ability is spelled out in state law as to what we can do, and that when it was opened up to competition,
they probably didn't call it that at the time. But
this is per truck. And a franchise fee would be per how much money they're making in our city, right? You could do a, like, so it could be a couple percent of whatever they're making, so.
Yeah, it's just, it could. Well, a lot of times they're very sensitive to that kind of
information. No, but well, once again, we have to be sensitive to what state law says. I don't know what we're
I don't know if they're a franchise.
I don't know that what we're able to charge based on state law.
That's very true.
I think Phoenix uses a franchise fee.
If they do, we.
I think we'd like the opportunity to research.
So we'll go look at that.
Well, anything
we'll
that, again, makes you more competitive in the commercial market, you should have the ability to go look into, absolutely.
Okay, we'll
that's what, you know, that's my opinion.
Well, it always makes you more competitive when you drive the other guy's cost up. I mean,
Well.
That's not a tough one. That was a joke.
Okay.
With meaning. That was one of those, there's a little bit of truth in every joke. Okay.
Mayor, next slide.
Thank you, Mike.
Yeah, talks about our move to compress natural gas for conversion of our fuels for our current fleet. This year we engaged a WIH consultant to look at the long-term operational benefits of converting our fleet to a CNG as our fuel source. The consultant's report documented a substantial savings in moving towards CNG as a fuel and recommended moving forward with our current replacement cycles based on our truck replacement cycles. That's about 24 trucks over the next 3 years through 15-16, including an additional 4 growth trucks that we talked about earlier in our presentation.
Okay. Key, Councilmember Richens.
Thank you.
Really? And the peasants rejoice. I'll just put that. This is great. I mean, it replaced that commercial haul fee in one truck in a year. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
So, fantastic. I think this was always a good idea to partner with our own energy division. Our energy division is doing fantastic work as far as fleets, and for us to participate in that as well and kind of lead the way is really, you know, part of our regional initiative. So congratulations. It's great.
Well, you know, it's really interesting when we go out, speaking of our energy, when you go out to the Gateway charging station, it's real interesting to drive in there, and it's completely full of waste management haulers who are the Chandler. They provide all the service to Chandler that we talked about in our first thing. They're using our natural gas on their trucks, so it's good that we're sort of picking that
up.
Get
it out, come and go.
We like their money.
Yeah, we do.
Our last slide, we'll talk about our Department of Budget. Sherry will walk us through.
Good morning, Mayor, Council. Before you, I have our 12-13 adopted budget and our 12-13 year in estimate. We're looking to come in right about on target this fiscal year. And then for next fiscal year, our proposed budget, we expect to be fully staffed next fiscal year. And in our proposed budget, we've included a couple larger line items, such as $1.1 million in the purchase of new barrels and $75,000 for our bin and roll-off repairs.
We're here for any questions you have.
Councilman Higgins?
Thanks, Mayor. You know, your what do we call those bins? We call them bins, right? Didn't you have some great deal you did last year with the bins where it was some?
Ava,
can you tell us what the deal was? Because I know it was some great outstanding cost savings, and I don't remember. So, remind me how great a job you guys did on bin sales or something. I don't remember.
I'm not sure that we brought the savings that are there, but our partnership with EVIT has proven very beneficial for both organizations. Councilmember Kavanaugh helped get that underway, and we appreciate the opportunity to work with those students over there. It increases their welding skills significantly, and from that we get an opportunity to get a lot of bins repaired at a nominal rate. So it's been a great partnership to work.
And I think I'm talking about the rollaways in front of our house. Wasn't there something you did with
barrel
replacement, or you had some?
Yes, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yes, what was that? Because that was big too.
Yeah, so we have a barrel replacement or a credit basically program we have with our barrel vendor. And so what we're able to do is if we can have our barrels brought back into our yard that are damaged and they're still under the warranty period, which is 10 years, then we're able to not only get a free barrel, but we can also send those back and they give us a credit. So I don't have the savings with us this year, but last year it was significant. It was about $140,000. So we were able to recover that in free barrels.
So if someone has a barrel with a big crack in it, we should call the solid waste department and say, I have a, and then you tell us what to do?
Absolutely, okay. Yes. And then we'll bring a new barrel to you, and then we'll take that barrel back We get a free barrel from our vendor because it's under warranty, as well as the recycle credit.
That's great.
It is
Thank
a
you.
Great deal. Thank you.
Sounds like barrels of fun.
Oh, no. Oh, yeah.
We're going to get through.
Oh, my
I know I hit the sour spot when Dina's really about the only one that laughs. That happens often. Any other questions? Oh, wait. Any other questions? Hey, thank you. I will tell you, I got the greatest compliment on our solid waste department one time. I was talking, I was at a conference of mayors deal, national a conference of mayors, and an executive from one of our private sector came up to me and they said, oh, we know all about Mesa. And I'm going, really? He says, yeah, you guys are legendary. We there's some areas we just won't compete with you because you guys are just too dang good. And I thought that was one of the best compliments I've had, is when somebody from a national office, not even a local, recognizes the quality of operations we have in our waste management and basically says, you do a better job than we do. So I commend you. I think you are an example of excellence and have continued to be in our just like, you know, we love it when the court system, as Paul said, gets recognized. You have people outside the city who recognizes what a good job you do, and we thank you for that.
Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you.
And Tara and Sherry,
thank you,
well done.
Richens, appreciate
thank
it.
You.
We weren't that bad, were we?
No.
Okay,
at all.
Good. All righty. Here reports on meetings or conferences attended. Dina.
I attended my own graduation.
I
attended it along with some.
You're not supposed to do it. You're supposed to let others talk about
it. You didn't attend it. What? So.
I didn't know about it. I thought it was tomorrow.
There is one tomorrow, too.
Oh, okay.
We
we'll see.
A couple of them.
No, see, okay.
I like to see
all right, you've got.
All right.
You, stop talking. Ixnay, all right. Anything else? I know. We'll get to that. Anything else?
Yeah.
Okay. We'd like to announce or talk about an event that's going to happen, and we didn't know it had already happened, but we'd like to congratulate both Dina and Chris on their accomplishments, both of them receiving master's degrees from ASU, and that's a great accomplishment, and I know what it's like to go back to school in your old age like Chris has done. And
good.
Why did you get your report card? No, it's not easy when you're mixing any type of job and schooling, and you both are great examples. So congratulations, because I know it was a lot of work, and we appreciate it. So, a round of applause. Okay, anything else? Mr. Brady.
Thank you, Mayor. Excuse me. Again, we want to invite everybody to join Councilmember Kavanaugh this Friday from 7:30 to 8:30 for a coffee with a council member at the City of Mesa's Transportation Management Center. That's located at 300 East 6th Street. Also, this Friday, in the evening from 6 to 10, is Second Friday Night Out in downtown Mesa. So we invite everybody to come and enjoy the entertainment and the music downtown. Our next study session will be Thursday, May 16th at 7:30 a.m. Also, council, we want to remind you and maybe get some direction. We have already placed you should have received the recommendation from the Judicial Advisory Board back in April, their recommendations for judicial reappointment of some of the judges. I guess the question to you all is that their terms expire the end of June 30th. We'd like to try to get those on the agenda maybe June 3rd. And I didn't know if there was any interest in doing executive session, or would you just like us to move forward to the...
I think the last time we did that, it worked really well.
To do the executive
session?
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And come in with the report and make available to us, if I recall, Judicial Advisory Board proceedings were made available to us on...
Have those April 1st.
David E.
That's right. Okay. Yeah, the interviews or whatever. Right?
The interviews.
Yeah. Okay.
And that way, if we wanted to, we could.
So between now and June 3rd, we'll try to find time to set up those interviews with the council and the judges. Okay. Is that what you're asking?
No, I don't think we interviewed the last time we...
Oh, you just want to see that? You just want to have the...
Available to us.
Oh, okay.
Last time...
It's on the agenda, but haven't...
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
They were available.
They were available, but we... yeah.
Okay.
I don't think we...
Make those available to you before...
Yeah, if I recall, we did not see the need, depending upon the recommendation of the advisory board, we did not see the need to re-interview the judges.
Okay.
Am I remembering that right?
Yeah,
but they were available to us, so if we had questions, we could go back and look at the interview that the advisory board did. Because those are all... Those
make
are
sure
all
those get are available to you.
Yes.
And then after you have a chance to review those.
And then if we want to, if there's a need... Because I remember we went through the report from the advisory board, and if there was something that was pointed out in the, and we chose to have a follow-up interview, then we did. Is that, am I remembering that right? Yeah.
So just, if we can just all be aware that their term expires June 30th, so we'll try to get all that done now and then. Okay?
All right.
All right, thanks.
Great. Thank you. Ms. Mickelson, any requests to speak?
No request, Mayor.
All right. We have a motion from the Vice Mayor to adjourn, a second from Councilman Kavanaugh. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
We are adjourned. Thank you.